Today on Real Radio.
John is assuming that in his writing it may be read to the church, and there may be somebody in the body of Christ right here tonight who has never personally accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of their lives. He's conscious of that very fact. He's careful to think about that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins his verse-by-verse series through the first New Testament letter written by the Apostle John, 1 John. Now, of all the New Testament authors, John, who really had a very deep understanding of both the love and the divinity of the Messiah, he really seems to be the one who pours his heart out the most to his readers. You can sense his passion as he writes, especially when he talks about those first-hand eyewitness encounters with Jesus. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, and it's a study called Knowing God.
1 John chapter 1, and we're in verses 1 through 4, as we were last time together. This time we will complete verses 1 through 4, and the title is Knowing God. That's the greatest pursuit, by the way, that anybody can embark upon in this life, is knowing God. We're all kids, each and every one of us, but some of us have kids. And one of our great desires is that our children might grow up having a life better than what we've had. We want to steer them away from the problems that we have experienced. We want to tell them, don't do that. Yes, do more of this. Stay away from there. Spend more time over here. And they naturally, because they think we're insane, reject our counsel, or they question our counsel. But it's only because we love them. We know something that they don't know yet. And we want to spare them grief, unnecessary grief. But the greatest thing that we can do to our kids, or to all of us who are children of someone, we all have a mother, we all have fathers of some sort. We want to be careful that we get on the right path, and we have them on the right path. And maybe our parents are still praying that we'd get on the right path. Because there's no greater thing in all this life than to know God. If you have a pursuit to be a chemist or a doctor or an attorney or whatever, a soldier, who knows what, an engineer, the best housewife there has ever been, the greatest dad, all that's secondary to knowing God. You will never fulfill the reason why you were created until you know God. And John is stressing this in this wonderful epistle. And so read with me, if you would, follow along, 1 John chapter 1. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Can you circle verse 4 in your Bible? Just circle it. Circle it and then draw a line over to chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And then turn with me to 1 John 5, verse 13. The third statement, he says, and these things I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Three great declarations. Number one, that your joy might be full. Are you joyful tonight? As a Christian, is your life marked with joy? He says, I write these things to you that you might have the fullness of joy. Chapter 2, verse 1, I write these things to you that you might not sin. That is, practice sin. And then in chapter 5, he says, I write these things to you that you might know that you're saved, that you're going to go to heaven. that you might know that you have eternal life. And so he makes these three wonderful, strong declarations throughout the course of this book. But from our previous study, we saw last time in verse 1 that he talked about to us regarding an eyewitness account. And I want to plead with you tonight. In fact, I have to. From verses 2 to 4, John is pleading with his readers. And I'm going to adopt the passion that John delivered this writing with. He's pleading. He uses extremely graphic and powerful Greek language, so much so that it paints a great picture. And he's begging. And it's been an object of debate. It's understood that 1 John is written to the Christian, not to the non-Christian. It's written to the household of faith. That's true. But he pleads also, seemingly, with those who are outside the church. Or how about this? Those that are sitting right here tonight that have not become Christians yet. John is assuming that in his writing it may be read to the church, and there may be somebody in the body of Christ right here tonight who has never personally accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of their lives. He's conscious of that very fact. He's careful to think about that. And so he's pleading. And so he's given us this eyewitness account. So last time we saw that he said, this is what we've heard. This is what we've seen in verse 1. We've seen with our eyes. We've looked upon him. That word is to gaze, to stare. By the way, it's the word in the Greek that we get the English word theater, to look upon him. It's the word theater, to go, to sit down. And what happens at a theater? Usually the theater goes dim and the performers on stage come up. Why is it that way? So that you might be focused and you are in the theater of the delivery. They are conveying a musical. They're conveying a message. They're conveying a play. Whatever the issue is that's on stage. And he says, we've looked upon him. John is right now addressing any of you in here tonight. So those of you who are Christians, be encouraged by this. John is going after the skeptic or the doubter in the fellowship. He's saying, now listen to me. And he's going to invoke, by the way, some legal terms here. He's saying, I've looked at him. I'm making the declaration that it is true. I saw him, and I sat as though one sits in a theater, and I studied the entire delivery of Christ. So John is in your face tonight saying to you, I am a witness, an eyewitness with the other apostles and many others to the fact that Jesus Christ is the revealed Word of God in human flesh. And he's putting that before you that you must make a decision. You must decide tonight that you're either going to know God or you're going to deny him. That's what John's passion is. Very, very powerful. John put it this way in his persuasiveness. That which was from the beginning. When the material world was created, he says, him we've heard. The one that was in the beginning of all the created universe, we've heard him. We've seen him with our own eyes. We theatered upon him. We've even handled him with our hands. And he is, by the way, the Word of life. Peter put it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. He says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory, verse 17, when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, that is from above. Watch this. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard this voice which came down from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. There, and I believe it's Mark chapter 10. And so we have, Peter says, verse 19, the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to take heed to as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. That's a reference to Christ, the morning star. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy or the revelation of the Word of God never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved or God breathed by the Holy Spirit. That's Peter's way of putting it. John says, I've touched him, I've seen him, I've heard him. Peter says, listen, not only that, but this word became flesh. John will tell you all about it. I want you guys to know, Peter would say, that beyond feelings, emotions, or any bit of imagination, the Word of God is so sure that we heard God's voice out of heaven make this delivery to us about the Son of God. But even more than God speaking out of heaven is the revealed Word of God that we have in our hands tonight. In Paul's words, he put it this way, 1 Corinthians 15. John was persuaded. Peter was persuaded. Listen to Paul. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas," that's Peter, "and then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part of them still remain to this day, but some have died. After that, He was seen by James, and then by the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one who is born out of due time." Eyewitness accounts. Now listen, skeptic, wake up to the fact that you have three guys who are saying right here, right now, they saw Christ. They touched Him. They listened to Him. So real was Jesus to them. So real was the power of the gospel that these men gave their lives for Christ. John, we understand, is the only one who died of old age, seemingly. But these lives were dedicated. So in our last time together, we saw the point of our origin of our relationship was with God. From the very beginning, He knew. We saw that there's factual evidence of our relationship with God. That He has been seen, that He has been heard. And then we saw last time that there's an experiential reality of our relationship, that we are to be knowing Him. And tonight we're going to see three very interesting presentations that John gives us. Jot it down quickly. I'll give them to you up front. And that is the argument for putting your faith in God. That's the first one we'll see. That'd be in verse 2. The second one we'll see is an invitation to fellowship with God and us. We're going to plead with you tonight to become a Christian. I'll warn you up front. That's in verse 3. And then thirdly, found in verse 4, there's an identity, a hallmark of the Christian life, and it's joy. So let's dive into this. Let's look at the argument for putting faith in God. He says in verse 2, the life. You ought to mark that. It is the life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. The first thing we notice here is in this argument of putting your faith in God, the first thing we see is that He is the life. Look at the first part of verse 2. And this is an argument based upon facts. He is the life. Watch this. The word in the Greek means that He is the source of life itself, not only this life, but the life to come, eternal life, both now and when we die. So we see here that our argument is based upon faith because our faith that we have as a Christian is factual faith. It's not wishful. Listen, it's not blind faith. Our faith is based upon facts. Oh, really? What are those facts? Well, in the context of the study, we argue this, that you should put faith in God because you're alive. You're alive physically. And if by God's grace you're touched tonight spiritually, and you make a decision for Christ, you're born again. You can be alive physically, but be spiritually dead. The Bible says that to those who are in that condition, you're twice dead. Spiritually dead. You live a life, but all you do is eat, drink, go to the bathroom, go to work, sleep, get up, eat, drink, go to the bathroom, go to work, eat, sleep. That's it. And you disguise your little pathetic life by putting little medallions and medals around it. Could be cars, could be things, could be pursuits of this life, which are fine, but that's not why you're alive. And we want to argue with you tonight that you ought to put your faith in God instead of your toys or your pursuits. Why? Because first of all, you are alive. You are a living, breathing person. The feelings that you have, the emotions that you deal with, either good or bad, I don't really care about it being good or bad right now in your life at this moment. The fact is, you have emotions. You have feelings. You have thoughts. You have an imagination. That does not come from your heart that's in your chest. It doesn't come from your liver. It doesn't come from your kidneys. It's proof positive that you are a soul, spirit, being. Jesus is the life. He has given you life. In fact, in John chapter 1, that's not 1 John 1, but the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 7 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without the Word," if you allow me to change it, Him, there, "the Word, nothing was made that was made. In Him," that is the Word, "was," what? "Life. And the life was the light of men." Illumination, understanding. "And the light shines in the darkness," unfortunately it says, but the darkness does not comprehend. Jesus Christ has come. Every day, every person, I believe, on the face of the earth, in some way, shape, or form, has to struggle with the fact that Jesus Christ or God is real. If they're out in the middle of the wilderness somewhere, they haven't heard the name Jesus, then they, with the little bit of light they do have, because it says here God, through Christ, illuminates every man that comes into the world, even that little guy running around naked with the bone in his nose, with his spear, he's thinking thoughts about the true living God. Romans chapter 1 says so, that their attributes and the Godhead are clearly revealed to all of His creation. Even if that little pygmy man hasn't heard from that Baptist missionary yet, or whoever, or from Metro Missions in that manner, he hasn't heard. God is still speaking to him. If that man dies without ever meeting up with that missionary, God in His sovereign way had been reaching that man, and that man will enter eternity having come to know God or having rejected God. It's in the sovereign hands of the Lord. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the" what? "The life. And no one comes to the Father except through Me." So He says in verse 2 here, "The life was manifested, and we've seen and bear witness and declare to you." This word "seen" is to stare at, to have a physical experience at what you're looking at, to be looking, to behold them. And so He says, we've seen Him and we bear witness. And this word "bear witness" is a courtroom term now. John's got his hand up, and it's as though he's got his hand on his Bible and his palm raised, and he's saying, "I am telling you now, God being my judge, I speak the words of truth and of factual reality." Now listen, if you're not a Christian tonight, I hope this verse drives you either to reason or to insane. By the way, do you know what the definition of the word insane is? To be void of reason. If you push back from your chair, if you push back from this Bible study, because the fact that God is challenging you now to come and know His Son and have eternal life, if you push back, be it known right now before your eyes and ears that you're pushing back out of insanity. You are not being reasonable. John is saying, "I'm bearing witness. I'm telling you a fact that you need to deal with. He's real. He's life. He's everything that there is." And John pleads with you. Isn't that powerful? I wish I could hear him speak in his Jewish accent. I got a I got a fax email. I don't remember. I can't remember which one it was. But those of you who were with us in Israel, remember Moshe and his brother Dov at their store there in the old city? Moshe he's not a Christian. Loves you, though. If you're ever in Jerusalem, I kid you not, go to his store in the old city and tell him you're from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and he'll give you a deal you can't refuse. He's a great guy. He's not born again, but he loves us, and we love him. And just reading, I could hear his accent. He's got a New York kind of Jewish accent. He was, in fact, he was born and raised in New York and moved back home, he says, to Israel. Well, you can hear John's voice. I bear witness. Now, John is pleading with you to make a logical, intelligent, reasonable decision to receive this life that's in Christ. And see, I could understand if you're pushing back from this because you were, something terrible happened to you at a church. And I think just about every one of us, something terrible has happened with us at some church at some time. And if it hasn't happened, it will. It really will. Someone's going to slam, someone will slam their door against your car door. Oh, God, perish the thought. But, somebody might, cut you off in the parking lot. I know that would never happen here, but, something might happen. You might say hi to somebody and they don't say hi back. You might be sitting there saying, no one said hi to me. I'm visiting and no one said hi to me. My only question to you is, have you said hi to anybody? Maybe the person sitting next to you is thinking the same thing you are. Say hi to somebody. There's always something to point the finger at because Satan will see to it that there's something wrong in every church. It's too cold, it's too hot, it's too, big, it's too small. There's always something. I can understand you pushing back for those carnal type reasons. Somebody hurt me. But what are you going to do about Christ? What are you going to do about Jesus, who is the life and has given you life? What are you going to do about him? I want to argue with you tonight that the fact is, you should be putting your faith in God. Not on what's happening in your life or somebody that you look to, but your faith should be in God. Is there something in your life that if it's removed, you'll crumble? Then your faith is not in God. When he says here that we've declared it to you, this word is a fantastic word. It means to give a full report, a full accounting. Listen, it's the word show and tell. Do you remember show and tell? Did you ever do that in school? Do they do that anymore in school? Show and tell. It was your day. You could bring it in, you could show them and talk all about it. It was your moment. And you would tell them. Show and tell. That's what God did. He sent Jesus Christ in human form, in a body.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In the first of many lessons that take us through the first letter to believers, written by the Apostle John, 1 John. Knowing God, that's the title of what we heard today. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look that really delves into these three scriptural letters written by the disciple whom Jesus loved. That, of course, what John liked to refer to himself as. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. And speaking of which, don't forget that every Monday night you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Now, Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. Did you have a chance to catch last Monday night's program? Well, if you missed it, it's not a problem. Just click on Video on Demand right there at the top of the page. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, every Monday night at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. Our telephone number, by the way, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.